Ladies and gentlemen.
System loaded.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Go, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Good morning. This is the Kelly Mano Radio Show coming to you on location from the king size bed of Steve Shannon.
This is not a king size. It's not a king size.
There are a couple of you that have been here all night.
Addison.
Stop.
Okay, I will.
I'm wondering where
nausea. Take a shower.
Where's nausea?
Yeah.
During all of this.
Where is that wifey?
I don't know.
Really?
He slept here last night. How does he know?
That's true. Oh, yeah.
Well, who did she sleep with last night?
That
waiter from IHOP?
IHOP? Did you say IHOP?
IHOP.
Dragon?
The waiter from IHOP?
Kelly, don't you have these rules and regulations? Don't we
no,
have?
No, this is a podcast. You can say anything you want.
It's fuck the FCC! Oh, that was just
D-C.
A joke.
D.C.
Something Herman Munster.
Everybody that you may not know, because D.C. and I have been on the air together in 9 years, but D.C. has come down with a horrible... He's been diagnosed with Tourette's.
Right, and his tick is the F word.
Yes. Well, no.
Well, there are a couple of words, but that's one of them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Seriously, there was... it might have been Howard Stern, I don't know. I think it was. He was interviewing Herman Munster.
Grandpa Munster.
Or Grandpa Munster, yeah.
Al Lewis.
Yep. About the FCC on the air, and that famously, after Howard asked him a question about what do you think of the censorship, whatever, he yelled that out.
Fuck the FCC!
Repeatedly.
Right on the air.
Over and over. And then they gave him his meds, and he comes
right,
back
exactly
down.
Right, exactly right. Yeah. Well, laid down with Aunt B.
So we are having what you can only describe as a pajama party, a pajama podcast. It's the morning after the big Stephen D.C. reunion last night in Wentzville, which was awesome.
Can you believe 34,406
showed
people?
Showed up and on location in Wentzville.
Can you believe
I
that?
I cannot believe it.
Wentzville police didn't know how to handle it?
I can't believe that either.
But we do have over 34,000 people talking about it last night on Facebook.
Isn't that crazy?
We had a live stream going that's going to be popped up as a podcast soon. We had video going. What was it like for you two to see each other again?
We didn't go.
No, we watched the
Steve
live
had a root canal.
My grandmother died again, and then I had a root canal, and we watched it from this room, hotel room, on Periscope.
And you were still locked in your garage.
With Addison getting us little fruity drinks.
Yeah, but it looked like a good time.
I have to say that building up to this, I was so concerned that we, the cast, would all be sitting there looking like a-holes explaining to the audience why Stephen D.C. didn't make it to their own reunion.
But look at the bright side, Kelly. You guys have years of experience doing that.
Yes, yeah. Covering for you guys.
We missed a couple things. Yeah. It was never D.C.'s fault. It was always my fault. There was one time, this is a true story, and I probably shouldn't tell this, but that's what last night was like. A true story, but I probably shouldn't tell this.
Exactly.
So one time DC and I were going to do something. I think we were supposed to sell like aluminum siding at a remote on a Saturday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
We're in the car. We're 5 minutes from the place. And I'm like, hey, DC, are you in the mood for some prime rib? And that's all you. If you ever want or need DC, you say that and you got him. You got him at prime rib. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, this restaurant's open and we could just go eat instead of. I don't know how we got out of it.
Yeah.
We ended up going and eating and not showing up to sell aluminum siding.
I think we called Jim Mano.
And said, handle it.
And had him cover.
I'm not proud of that, by the way.
All right. Well, you may have
that
done
was a
that.
Long time ago.
You may have done that same stunt more than once because.
No.
No.
Well,
no.
Listen,
no. Don't lie on us.
There was a wonderful charitable hockey game. It was the Blues alumni against the broadcasters.
I know this story.
Now, I was a member of the broadcaster team. I was going to play ice hockey. This was at the Chesterfield Ice Rink.
I remember
okay?
this. It's true.
And you guys, for the second.
We had a flat tire.
That is the that's the bullshit story you fed me. Listen, I'm in my full gear, skates on, everything. You guys are supposed to do the introductions.
Right.
All right. Steve calls my cell phone because the guy in charge, he's like, Where are they at? We got to start in 5 minutes. Steve calls me and he's like, Jimmy, you're never going to believe this. We're on
and
the side
he didn't.
Of 40. And I didn't. Well, little did I know, because DC blabbed like 2 or 3 days later.
What?
That you guys went to Annie Gunn's.
I love that place.
Yeah.
Love that.
Just for carry out. Just for carry out.
No.
And it was a really long line.
Literally, you can see Annie Guns over Highway 40 from this ice rink. Like, it
no.
is an, yes. You oh, were yeah. just on the other
I
side
I do
of the
remember
highway.
That now, yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Dan Duffy.
Remember those ribs? They were great.
Hey, Dan and Riri had to handle
the only time I went to Annie Guns. Yes, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Dan and Riri, what did they handle?
They had to handle your introductions for you. They took over for you.
They handled
and
it.
I'm sure it was wonderful.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. I don't remember a lick of it.
None
not
of it.
A lick of
I
it.
I guess.
No.
Do you remember Riri?
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't know what it is about athletic related events, but even recently, while Steve was in Huntsville, Alabama, I was invited by a guy that's been a very loyal fan of ours for years, Jeff Stallhut. And he's the PR guy for who? Who is it?
The
St.
Ambush.
Louis.
The Ambush.
Ambush.
Yeah, I went to high school with Jeff. We
there
graduated.
You there you go. Yeah, he
you
mentioned
graduated?
That.
Wow.
You went to high school, Addison?
And graduated.
Awesome, believe it or not.
Holy
so
shnikes.
He invited me, and then I looked at the roster of other people on the team, and it was like the morning show from The Point, 105.7 The Point,
yeah.
was there, Keishi. And then a bunch of other radio stations and TV, and he said, we want you to come play, and it's going to be about an hour and a half of running.
No way.
That's what he said,
did you
and
hang up
I
on
did
him?
Not show up. I said I was going to be there, but I didn't show up. And I can't remember how I got out of it, but I did have someone, I think I had Racy Stacy, call him and say.
Oh, I bet that was a beautiful moment.
She yeah called
God
him and said I was
heart.
Sick or something.
Yeah. I think that
she was doing a root canal for me.
Right.
I think.
So one of the coolest things for me last night was getting to hang out with Kim Furlough and producer Courtney because
yes.
they came
yes.
in the years before me.
Yeah. Yes.
And so the three of us had a lot of fun. Kim had a lot of fun.
Yes, she did.
She had the white Zen going, I believe. You remember she used to do appearances and if it was at a place that sold
at Kicks
alcohol,
at the Marriott West.
There it is. And she'd snap her fingers and say, white Zen, and they'd bring her one over, and man, she just like a fish.
Well,
she was in it last night.
And
I
she played the Walla Balla Ball.
She did play that.
Walla Balla Ball.
I didn't notice, but some people in the audience were saying later, she was showing apparently more than white Zen with that dress.
It was white sin.
It
and
was
lots
pink.
Of lots of skins. White skin.
It was more of a pink or rose gold.
Well,
she does. She does have the new rose gold iPhone.
There's that.
She was proud
at
of.
At one point, I did
but her
catch...
dress.
Her
it was
dress
short.
Kept shimmying up
coming
over her
up.
Pantyhose, and
right.
you could see all the way to Cleveland.
You could.
She looked good, though. She really looked
well,
good.
Well, she looked great, but
coochie
I don't
looked good.
Think she wanted people seeing her coochie.
Well, she admitted right before we were about to start the show, and she said, I can't sit here because, you know, you can
well,
see
and,
up.
And there...
And then she got over it.
It's... She did get over it. She did. There, it's confirmed. There are pictures.
Yes.
People were taking pictures.
Yeah, a lot of
so
lot of pictures.
Keep your eyes on. Keep your eyes on Facebook.
Yes, because her butt will be everywhere. I, you well. Know, did the good girl thing and came up and yanked her dress down, and then she was on the hunt for Tony Twist all night.
And Tony was there,
and he ran as fast as he could.
What? Well, away from her?
Yes.
Well, he wasn't running very fast
because you know we had our kids there, and Rocky's a big Blues hockey
you
fan.
You and Tony Twist have kids.
Yeah, well, listen.
Jamie?
And I thought, hey, Jim. I'll go find Twister and get a picture of him and Rocky. Dude, he got the hell out of Dodge.
See ya.
Yeah. Once Kim started announcing on the microphone that she was looking for him.
Oh, God.
And wanted to go yeah. home with him. Yeah.
She said that on the microphone?
Yes.
On
were the you microphone. There?
Uh-huh. I want to go home with Tony
she
Twister.
She certainly did. I have it on
Hello, Tony.
I have it on tape.
With her dress pulled up to her.
At first, Tony looked like he was injured. I don't know if Kim yes. tackled him.
Is he hurt, Jimmy?
Yeah, he just had a knee replacement.
Okay, oh. that's why he was kind of hobbled.
So she could have caught him.
She could
have, yeah. He's hobbling out in a crutch.
Do y'all know who he was with? I don't know if you know. Cause
no.
He introduced himself when he first got there. He said, hi, I'm Tony's dad. He brought his dad last night. That
Aww.
Was his father.
Oh, my God. I didn't even get to meet
Mr.
him.
Mr. Twist.
Mr. Wow. Twist. Senior
father
was,
Twist.
Was there at the club with him.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And they were long story
the
short, the Tony's dad left with Kim. So it worked out.
Let's
we
do
you,
the
Kim.
Twist.
We do love you. We love you, Coochie.
Yes.
We love you. We love
yes.
you. Now,
yes.
Dan was there for the Courtney and the Kim Furlough days. And Courtney was in rare form last night, too. You
yes.
know, Courtney has a few beers. We said last night she's the all-American beer-drinking,
Cardinal loving girl from Belleville.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll never change. And we love that about her.
Well,
last night after a few drinks, she's sitting down on the end where everybody is on stage, the cast, and something would come up. And, you know, Courtney, after a few beers, she'd be like,
well, it was funny.
Alcanal's trying to tell a story.
Oh, God.
Alcanal was a
man. He was there, and I tried to tell a story.
And Courtney.
Get on with it!
She was giving him the
truth. She's yelling at him.
And then she's like, I could have told that better, Al.
Change the channel. Yeah.
Everybody's punching out.
You know what's funny? It's so funny that when Alcanal drinks, he sounds a lot like this.
Poor Al. He talked to me for 40 minutes last night. I don't have a damn clue what he's
no,
saying.
No. I'm just. And he had been injured. Did you hear that? I got that out of it.
He got into
Alcanal.
A fight with Twist, and they both had knee replacement surgery together.
He had an eye injury. He runs a theater in Illinois now. He used to be the guy at the Funny Bone Comedy Club.
He brought all the comedians in.
That would bring, all the Pauly national.
Shore, Bobcat, Bo 6ix9ine,
6ix9ine, Bud Sullivan.
You remember the
name. All the comedians who
Bud
hate Sutherland. Us now.
All of them, yeah.
Bud Sutherland.
Bud Sutherland, who did the famous Donald Duck orgasm on the old Stephen DC show, was invited to be there last night and do it live from the stage, which would have been awesome.
And Dan does a pretty good one.
But he was had been out of the country, and he does the corporate speaking engagements and stuff.
He's in Mississippi.
That's out of the country. What did he say about the Donald Duck orgasm? Is he still doing it?
He's still doing it. He's doing it in all these other countries. He says he can do the Donald Duck orgasm in all these different languages.
In fact, if you go to iTunes, I can't remember the name of the song. I'm going to find it before the end of this show here. But if you go to iTunes, there is some German dance producer that took, and you hear our voices, you hear us laughing in the background. He put it to techno music, and it was a number one dance
in Germany.
Hit. Yes, I'm going to find
probably
it.
Probably how Bud Sullivan got that booking in Germany.
I think so.
And he's ticked off that he didn't get royalties. I'll never forget. We were at, I was in Amsterdam with friends, and we're on the way to the airport. The cabbies got the thing, and all of a sudden you hear,
oh my God, it feels so good.
That's
oh
good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
And I mean, and I'm going, oh my God, that's us. It. And I told him the next time I saw him, he's like, yeah, I bet they're not paying me a damn dime for it.
And he was right.
He could have gotten rich off that bit.
Relax.
He did.
Well, he did.
I think. In fact, poor guy, I know he gets mad about this, but I just found it on YouTube. It's credited all the time to Robin Williams.
Yes.
You're right.
When you look it up, Donald Duck Orgasm by Robin Williams.
They don't even credit Buzz Sutherland?
No. No.
He gets screwed twice. They credit Mark Sutherland. God.
Feels so good.
And a week later, you remember the follow-up? We introduced Steve and DC after sex towels, and we gave those away on the show. Remember that?
And Buzz didn't see a dime from that either.
No. And somebody did one of the
life
comments.
Is cruel.
Well, I didn't see anything from Christmas shoes either, so who cares?
You're not bitter, are you?
They could have put the Donald Duck orgasm in Christmas shoes. Well, and I think I played it for Dan Duffy, comedian Patton Oswalt does a 10-minute routine on the Christmas shoes. And
I didn't know that.
It's
one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life.
And he says that at the end of the song, it really just makes you hate all of life and the world and God, because you realize God killed a mom just so some crabby ass could have some little kid in front of him. Jesus was up there saying, let's give that kid cancer or the mom cancer.
You know, he's got a point, DC. No offense.
I know. It's pretty funny. You just Google, I can't play it on the air because there's a lot of cursing.
Sure, sure. And we wouldn't want that.
Aren't you just
that?
The one who just said F the FCC?
No. I did. Let me see if I can find it.
You know Patton Oswalt, don't you?
Oh, yeah, comedian, absolutely.
No, no, don't play it. He's going to want rights to that.
He's going to send us a bill.
He's going to want royalty.
No, he will be sending me a bill.
That's
so,
right. The Kelly Mano Show.
Yeah, we will just, yeah. We
I
can.
Helped give him this material, so hang on.
This is the first time someone's been fired from their own podcast, Kelly.
Yeah, I know, exactly. The whole reason I started this was so that I did not have a boss and I could not get fired.
But Kelly illegally,
things have changed.
All the bumper music that Kelly plays is illegal anyhow. She doesn't,
right.
You know.
But if I get sued by somebody big, like if Adele sues me, that's
famous.
Awesome. I'll be famous.
I think I found it.
So go for it.
A song that they play at Christmas time. It is the eeriest, most horrific Christmas song I've ever heard. And I like Christmas music. So I'm not against Christmas music. I'm against this dark, disturbing song. And it's called Christmas Shoes. And it's a... Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Jesus God. The song is called Christmas Shoes, and it's by a Christian group called New Song, which I don't know why. Why would you name your group New Song? You're just going to be living in an Abbott and Costello routine for the rest of your life. Yeah, we got a new song. By who? Exactly. What? Fuck this. So, the song is called Christmas Shoes, and I'm going to take you through it. Very briefly. So the first verse of the song is, it was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, just trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Oh, there's a guy in line at a store. He's a little cranky. He's a little cranky at Christmas time. Meh. And by the way, I'm going to recite these lyrics because the dude that sings it like this. It was almost Christmas time. Because that's his way of saying, look, I'm singing in a Christian rock band. Ladies, make no mistake, I will lay the fucking pipe in you. You're not. If I get you back in my room at the La Quinta Inn next to this state fair where we're playing, God's telephone pole will have you chanting this sick evening prayer. So,
Billy Goodwin.
Yeah. All right, so that's first verse. The guy in line is a little cranky. Now, standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing around the way little boys do, and in his hand he held a pair of shoes. Okay, little kid in front of him holding a pair of shoes. Here comes the next verse. His clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. So he's like a Dickensian street urchin. In a world full of hand sanitizers, he's, have you got a halfpenny, sir? Then how about a smile? And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Here comes the chorus of the song. Chorus starts off pretty good, then it takes a hard left turn into Assholeville. So hang on. Get your seatbelts on. Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve, and these shoes are just her size. That's sweet. He's buying shoes for his mom. That's really nice. Hang on. Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. She's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
He's got a point.
Oh, this is the funniest part.
The kid's mom is dying. He is buying her shoes. So when she gets to heaven, by the way, I missed the part of the Bible where Jesus is really bitchy and catty about people's footwear when they go to the pearly gates. You're not getting into heaven in those, honey. No, I'm sorry. I died for your sins, but those pumps are unforgettable. Paul Lind all of a sudden. All right, so he's buying shoes for his mom on Christmas Eve. Here comes the next verse. He counted pennies for what seemed like years. He's paying for the shoes with fucking pennies. Pennies! Then the
clerk said, "Son, there's not enough here." What kind of psychotic asshole hears that this kid's mom is dying? He's paying in pennies. "Yeah, you're 6 cents short. How about that?" "Yeah, that's the pitch, isn't it? That's not our policy here at Fashion Bug. I don't know what to tell you. That 6 cents comes right out of my paycheck. I can't help you." And then, I'm not going to recite the rest of these goddamn lyrics. The little kid turns around to the guy in line and goes, "I don't know how I'm going to buy..."
Oh, somebody's trying to call me.
Jesus is on the phone, DC. I'm impressed.
He is very disappointed.
Wait, you got to hear the end.
Which now it starts to sound like a scam. Like maybe the kid, they're just going to... The kid and his dad are going to different stores. The dad's out in the parking lot in a beat-up Chevy Nova with a trunk just filled with women's shoes. They're just covered in jizz. He's like, "Listen, go in there. You've got to trick a guy into buying them. I can only jerk off to these if you trick a guy into buying them. That's what Vietnam did to me." So then, the grouchy guy in line... pays for the shoes, and the kid is happy, and he runs out of the store. Now we get to the bridge of the song. The bridge will make you lose all hope that we live in a just or sane
Didn't
universe.
You write the bridge, did you?
Yeah, I think you did. I helped with the bridge.
I know you did.
"I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me of what Christmas is all about." Let's review. There's a guy in line. He's a little cranky on Christmas. God looks down and sees this. "Somebody in a bad mood on my son's birthday? Bullshit! Give that kid's mom cancer. Make sure he's in front of him in line. Make him 7 cents short for the shoes. This guy will buy them, and then he'll be in a good mood." I feel like Jesus is behind God going, "I don't think we need to give a kid's mom. Can you shut the fuck up? It's going to be the best birthday you ever had. It's going to be the best birthday you ever had."
Okay, I'm punching out.
They've officially crossed a line.
I hate that you didn't hear the longer version where he talks about the store clerk. Because I didn't think about that when we were working on the song, that the kid's just a few cents short, and the clerk says, "I'm sorry.
Doesn't help him out.
Not enough here." And Patton Oswalt in the other one says, "Maybe it was a Jewish store clerk."
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, kid. Security!
I can't help you. I don't get rich paying and giving away shoes here.
It's
5 cents.
At this point, I am just wondering. We are in a Marriott hotel with very thin walls.
They
I cannot.
What they must think.
I cannot imagine what the people next door to
I'm
us think
find
right
out.
Now.
Just find out.
You gonna go knock on their door?
The only way to deal with this is to invite people. Them over. That's the only way to deal with this.
A lot of old people on this floor. I noticed, yeah. And they seem to be checking
DC,
out.
DC, we got a discount. Okay.
It's the senior citizen discount.
I'm stuck to the floor.
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
Are you really?
What went on in here?
Oh, I gotta go shower again.
All right, there goes. DC is going to knock on the door. Hey, Addie, will you go film him with your camera, with your phone?
Yes.
So now, while DC is out knocking on random doors,
God, he's gone. Gone.
Another thing that was. Okay, well, then we can keep being loud and obnoxious.
I think they checked out.
Something that was cool last night was
housekeeping.
hearing all the old bits being played. And I think some were even played before Jimmy and I got there. One that Nil and Mike brought up that I have that I'll have to get up here somehow is the conversation that took place when you guys figured out that Jimmy and I had been dating. Because we had been
we were the last to know.
You, of course you were. We hid it for at least 3 months.
Well, and then Jimmy was engaged to this... girl that you know
Satan
none
yeah
of us really
so
liked.
So we had to kind of keep it on the DL for yes. a while, and well, when it did come to light and on the show, you know, you guys figured out we were dating, Steve says I'm starting to wonder if you're Nostradamus. Steve says,
no, DC used to play the part
the
of
air.
Nostradamus. Remember that? That was one of my favorite bits. He was Nostradamus.
Steve said, and I'll find the bit and play it for you guys. He said, Jim and Kelly, I've already written the script. You're getting married and having three kids.
See, I do not remember that, but I love that happened. No. And you have a tape of it.
I have a tape of it.
He used to say that to everyone. It finally worked.
And eventually you're going to get... You know, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because wouldn't he always say something about dancing at your wedding if you would do something for him?
And then these two actually had made me do it.
I have a video of you dancing at my wedding.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You're doing the electric slide, and you grab somebody's butt. I think it's Honky's.
Oh, Lord. That's why he had to leave town.
I know. That's why he wasn't
here
last
night. That's why we both had to leave town.
He's out of here, Well, but Honky had just done that gynecology routine.
And I can't believe that didn't come up last night because
me either.
Sending Honky to the gynecologist dressed as a woman.
It was classic.
With Jim Mano as his...
Driving the getaway car.
Yes.
Right?
And, I mean, he went to a straight-up gyno office.
Made an appointment ahead of time in a woman's name.
And he, I mean, the whole time, the nurse, I guess they come in first. The nurse is talking to him. And
remember, we worked all morning getting him, you know, made up in the dress.
I did the makeup.
And you did his makeup.
He was wearing my clothing.
I mean, and you must have done a really good job.
I did.
They thought he was a woman.
Well.
Or maybe not.
I think they were, you could hear it in their voice, they were a little
but they
concerned.
Were afraid, though, to
but
challenge.
They wouldn't say, I mean, that's a lawsuit.
That's right.
You know, they can't do that. So. We got to the point where the nurse left, and it was time for the doctor.
And it's live on the air. We're waiting live.
And his appointment was made for a growth and swelling.
Right.
That was the problem.
I never knew that.
And the doctor, I'll never forget it, the doctor came in, and he's talking to him, and Honky's doing some kind of voice, you know, to sound like a female. And so the doc is like, well, you're going to have to, you know, get in this position. So
in the stirrups.
The stirrups.
And Honky's like, okay, I will.
And he's got a microphone taped up his back.
Right. And I bet you, I think if it's a male gynecologist, it's like a rule. They have to have the nurse there with them.
That's right.
Correct.
Because whatever Honky did next, and I presume it was opening his legs.
Yes.
He dropped his panties. He dropped his panties and opened
screaming.
His legs.
You just heard screaming. At that point. And it wasn't Honky.
And you remember what the nurse screamed?
What? I do. She said,
he's got a penis.
Yeah, you got a penis. She said, you got a penis, son.
You got a penis.
Because she walked down.
And then Honky's like, I do.
And then he jumps up, I think, right, Jimmy, and hauls butt through the waiting room out to jump in the car.
In his gown. Because they were calling the cops.
They were calling the cops.
Yeah, but right at that same time, due to how the position he was laying back, he turned off his phone, which was his microphone.
Yeah.
And so then I ran in to try to get him reconnected.
He busted in the exam room.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then it was chaos. And then we had to squeal out of there.
Burned rubber and sped away.
Yeah, you heard my...
not the only time that you and Honky had to burn rubber. There was the time... this was weird, but the cops, they were really pissed over the gravy bit.
Where he was so innocent.
It was. Honky was just going table to table at some diner, and he was adding gravy to everybody's meal. And some guy got
upset. Now that'd be considered a terrorist attack. Right. You really couldn't get away with that.
No. He was gravy, man. Yes.
That was real
and
creepy.
And he had a large gravy boat full of gravy, and he would go up to their table and said, I'm gravy, man. Good morning. And he would pour gravy all over whatever they were eating.
Right. And he poured it in somebody's orange juice. They got mad.
Oh, yeah.
And they chased him out. And then the cops, there were like three cops. Cars trying to get you guys, and you outran them. I guess
absolutely. The cops were on their tail. Yeah,
we're forgetting one of the most well thought out Steve and DC Honky bits that we ever did. We had an intern who had a friend that worked for Steak and Shake, and we had access to a Steak and Shake uniform.
That's right.
And we dressed Honky head to toe in a Steak and Shake uniform and sent him to work at a Steak and Shake.
That's right.
And he worked all morning. He was making hamburger patties with his armpits.
That's right.
Well, but so are the regular employees.
That's true. That's
inside. It must be right, DC. Come on.
And he looked so perfect in the Steak and Shake outfit.
Oh, he had a name tag and everything, and the manager didn't know what to do with him.
No.
You know.
I actually also loved the one where it was Honky in a trunk.
Oh, yes.
We have video of that one.
Yes, and Jim Mano was driving a car, and we had the Honky in the trunk of what car was that?
It was your car. It was a Mercedes.
Oh, well.
Yeah, very fancy.
Well, hey, then.
Apparently Christmas Shoes did send a check.
Yeah. He was in the trunk.
And so you pull into like a gas station.
A gas station in Webster Groves.
And the attendant or whatever comes out and is talking to you. And Honky's going crazy in the trunk. Banging, well, screaming.
The whole deal was, I said it was a brand new car and I didn't know how to open the gas tank. You know how you have
you
a little...
Oh, you needed help. That's
I needed help. So I go in and I ask the guy, the attendant, and he comes out. And he can't figure out how to open my gas tank. So he was a big, big idiot.
And then you hear Honky just banging, going and screaming stuff
let
out.
Yeah.
Help me.
Out.
And the guy says to Jim, what's going on here? And Jim says, oh, no, it's nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what. The attendant was kind of ho-hum about it. It was the next guy over.
Oh.
It was the next guy pumping gas into his car that was getting so pissed off about
it. Honky was screaming, I'm a doctor from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then... The guy says, well, sir, why don't you open this trunk? Because clearly somebody's in there. And my favorite part was you saying that it was a new CD you were listening to.
It was my new subwoofers and some German heavy metal.
German heavy metal. And then the guy at that point is like.
He's angry.
He's getting mad. And he's like, I'm calling the cops. Open it now. So you did. You hear Jim go, all right, fine, I'll open it. And as soon as it pops open, and again you hear screaming, I just hear Jim say, we got to get out of here. The cops are on the way. We got to go now.
DC, do you even remember how many bits that ended that way with us? We got to get out of here. The cops are on the way. We got to go now.
And it really is amazing. Just, I mean, like, I'm even thinking of like some, like way back in the day, like I remember like in 19, so it's way pre-9/11.
Yeah.
But back in 1994, God rest his soul, there was this street guy, Wacky Pat Fortune.
That's right. And is he dead, too?
Oh, yeah. He's long dead.
All of our guys.
He's long dead.
Are
well, what,
dying.
What happened with Wacky
Madison,
Pat
okay?
is.
Okay.
I don't feel so good.
Well, we wanted to see if Wacky Pat, like, there. We'd heard all these stories that some guy accidentally got through TSA, or it wasn't TSA back then, just through airport security, like with like a knife in their bag and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we put Wacky Pat in a suit, and we put basically a drawers full of silverware. In his pants.
In his underwear.
In his... Oh, God, that
which he
hurt.
Liked. I think he kept that there for quite a while.
And
he liked the little jingle when he'd move it.
But here's the crazy thing. He got through. He got through security.
Right.
It never went off. So he's sitting at the gate.
With an underwear full of spoons.
It wasn't just spoons.
And
it was forks
and knives.
Although, and the whole nine yards.
Wacky Pat's best was the deal that got a bunch of local press... And
got him arrested.
Right. And some people were saying that, you know, it was irresponsible of Stephen D.C. to make fun of such a serious thing. There was a guy that had driven drunk, and he pulled up to the police station. It was like substation 5 in the city of St. Louis. And he tried to order White Castle at the police station.
He was so drunk he thought their speaker
got arrested.
Their speaker was a White Castle order
so
thing.
On Monday, we sent Wacky Pat to the same police station to order, and they didn't find it funny either.
Well, he didn't tell us that he had outstanding warrants.
Right, he didn't tell us that.
That was key to the story.
Yeah.
He said, as the cops are coming out to arrest him,
that'll
he's
ruin
like,
a bit every time.
Every
I really
time.
Can't be here. I've got warrants.
And we're like, excuse me?
I'm thinking he's talking about the band like their greatest hits.
I got warrants.
Sound boys. And he got arrested. He had the warrants, and we had to raise his bail on the air. And
we sold Stephen D.C. pillowcases on
the
sidewalk.
Wait a minute.
And he's not out yet, but I really think soon.
And we've got three pillowcases if you'll be the next three callers.
We got to get him out.
How many staff members did you guys get arrested?
How many?
Next to one right
and
here.
I'm married to one. And
Jim got arrested?
Jim got arrested
for
5
impersonating
years
a producer.
After your show.
I'm sorry. I love you. You know I love you.
You know, it was so funny.
I really love you.
Shower.
As we were planning this reunion last night, and as so many people
we
have been asking, you know, for you guys to come back to St. Louis and be on the air, I sat my husband down and I said, listen, I said, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see a lot of old friends. you are not producing their show. Do you understand me?
She told
me. I said, our life is normal. You haven't been arrested in 5 years.
What did you get arrested for on our show?
But then she said, because I'm producing their show.
No. Jimmy got a ticket for playing his music too loud at a winery.
That's right.
You guys were there.
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to be taken care of. It didn't get taken care of.
Who did we have taking care of it?
Probably you guys or Jeff Allen.
No, the Mad Hoosier was going
to... He was already dead.
He was going to court to represent
so
him.
So I am at home with two kids, maybe pregnant with our third. I don't remember. And I get a phone call from Jimmy and he's like, hey,
oh, no.
I just want to let you know I'm in jail. And this is my only phone call. And I said, why are you in jail? He said, it's something to do with Steven DC and all
this. Oh, you blamed
us. You haven't worked for them for 5 years. Why are you getting arrested? And I know Honky got arrested. He got arrested for going in a school.
Yeah.
And not knowing answers to history.
Yeah, there were
not knowing answers to history.
He had warrants too, yeah.
Near a school, yeah.
I came close to getting arrested once. It was back, and this is one of the only things that was never saved. So remember that stupid Mr. Hand Puppet bit you guys
did?
I love that bit. In fact, Dan, and I didn't do it, and I should have. I was going to take a sock last night, have it in my pocket, and when we announced that Dan couldn't be here tonight, but he did send a friend, I was going to pull it out and interview it about you, and I forgot, and I shouldn't have.
My mother has that sock.
Are
still,
you serious?
To this day. No, I'm not kidding.
Like
oh, Mama
framed
Duffy.
Framed on the wall?
No, she's got it in a drawer trophies? In the kitchen. She
That's
showed it to our kids.
Awesome.
So what's funny, though,
Mr.
is...
Mr. Hand Puppet.
It was one of these things. You made me go to admitting at Barnes
you
Jewish.
You know how they keep saying, we made them do this, we made them do that?
You made me go to Barnes Jewish... And I had to go to admitting and admit that I was nothing but a sock.
I remember that.
So I'm really just a sock.
It was great.
And then the lady's like, that's okay. Now, if you just want to have a seat over there, we'll be with you momentarily.
She
and then
did.
She gets on the phone and I
calls
can see
the psych ward.
Basically. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, guys, I think I have to go. I'm being chased now through the dread bridge. Come on.
That's right. I remember the voice that she spoke to the sock with. And I remember when you would do Mr. Hand Puppet, you were really good at it. And he had a little face and lips on his hand, you know, and he had this just a typical athletic tube sock over your hand, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But when you would go out and do this, people would actually look at the sock when
Ann
you did
B.
that.
Davis.
When you did that. Alice the Maid.
Alice the Maid did too.
Pretty much.
Probably the worst you ever
she
had
talked
to do.
Talk to the hand, talk to the sock.
And I don't know what twisted recesses of your minds that this came out of, but it was National Thank a Librarian Day. But because the sock doesn't have ears, I thought it was National Spank a Librarian Day.
And by the way, it was your sick mind that thought of that.
That's right.
And this is before, it might have been, and this is before we actually thought that, wait a second, we could actually fake a bit and it would sound really good.
Yeah.
So I actually went and found a librarian and convinced her to let me spank her.
Yeah.
Live on the air.
I know.
And you could hear.
I know.
And well, I'm walking out of there and she goes, come back later.
You know, though, the truth is, with everything being so lawsuit-driven, nowadays...
We'd be in the penitentiary.
A lot of radio stuff is fake.
Right.
It really is. A lot of shows, it's all fake. But, I mean, 99% of what we did was not.
Absolutely.
Was not fake.
In fact, I met someone in Alabama the other day that's news director of a television station that grew up in St. Louis and listened to the show for years growing up.
They have TV in Alabama now.
Yes.
It's come a long way.
Tin of Vaseline.
And she and she tells me, she said, every morning my ride to school when I was a kid was an argument between me and my parents about whether what we were hearing was real or whether you were faking it.
Oh.
And she said, I argued that it was real, and my parents were like, there's no way they're really doing
that.
Oh,
it was real.
And I'm like, we weren't smart enough to fake it.
No.
It was real.
To the point where we got the craziest lawsuit we ever went through was a Schnucks manager. God. A manager now at a Schnucks store. Because we sent the Mad Hoosier in to do a little thing, and it was really nothing. And he said that he couldn't have sex with his wife any longer.
I remember this.
Because of Stephen D.C. sending the Mad Hoosier to his Schnucks store.
The Mad Hoosier went in, and he got in one of those carts that you mobile scooter things.
And he had sex with the manager's wife.
And that was a good thing.
And then the manager said, I can't do it anymore.
Mud on the turtle, partner.
I'm laying pipe.
So
So he's going through the schnooks on his cart, and he acts, and the manager's trying to tell him to stop, and he runs into the manager, supposedly, according to the manager, he runs into the manager in the knee with the mobile scooter.
And he's
manager,
like, oh, my knee.
Oh,
like
my
Nancy
knee.
Kerrigan,
And then the manager in the lawsuit said he couldn't have sex with his wife because of the injury.
Right.
And the Hoosier... we just wanted him, you know, you got to have audio when it's radio. So I had just watched an episode of my favorite show, I Love Lucy. And in the show, she sang on stage with Ethel Mertz.
That's right.
You remember?
Yes, yes.
Shortening Bread. So I'm like, Hoosier, as you're driving through the store on the scooter, sing Shortening Bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
The manager also tried to say that Matt Hoosier was racist for
because
singing that.
The manager happened to be black, so Hoosier on the scooter was singing Shortening Bread, which has some connotation to slaves in the old days, which we didn't know at the time. No, I just knew it from I Love Lucy.
The manager said, I asked you to stop singing that song.
That's exactly right. And then...
But Hoosier, like a good employee, would not because... You told him to sing the song.
Right. At the top of his lungs.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Go to court, though.
No, but we went into meetings for hours with lawyers.
They settled it.
They actually asked me what date I saw that episode, pulled it up, established that that episode ran on that date, and that Lucy and Ethel, they got a clip of it, sang Shortening Bread on I Love Lucy. On that show, and that was part of the deal before it went to court to prove that that's where it came from. It had no race overtones at all.
I'm glad it didn't go to court. They did settle it beforehand, because can you imagine the Mad Hoosier in court?
No.
And, he probably would have said to the manager, I'll have sex with your old lady.
Oh, yeah, he would. Oh, yeah.
He would. You can't.
God rest his soul, man. God, we miss him.
To explain to people what it was like working for this show.
Yes.
And I always say it's part of this sick fraternity that nobody ever wanted to be a part of.
Yep.
But we did it.
Well, now, wait a minute. A lot of people wanted to be a part of it.
No, she's talking about me and you.
No.
And you know, that's right now, really.
I can tell stories that make people not believe me of the times. Like, we were nearly professionals at, is that my phone?
No.
Oh.
I think that's my phone.
We were.
We'll take it on the air.
Professionals at running from the cops or running from the news stations.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Where's Kelly?
Is that my mom?
That's ridiculous.
Yes, we are. Here's Kelly.
So my mom went to sleep at our house last night, and we told her she could leave in the morning, and then we got up and we came to your house.
Came
to your hotel.
Y'all weren't there when she woke up.
No, she has no idea. Hey, Mom.
We're in jail.
I know you're gone.
Well, I'm in Steve's hotel bed.
Hey. And so is Jim.
We're having a...
What about me going to... I'm supposed to go to lunch.
I know. The lunch isn't until noon. So Rachel's going to be there in like 15 minutes.
Are we all invited?
No, none of you.
Oh.
Yes.
So just get... Rachel will be there in 15 minutes, and then I'll meet you at lunch at noon.
Tell them we're painting a snowman.
Okay, I'll tell them.
Scarecrow.
Okay.
Is she okay?
No.
Is
she on the sauce? Is she back on the sauce?
I thought she had Steve Shannon disease. She was coming up with an excuse.
We're painting a snowman.
Come on.
Mom, you can do better than that.
And the painting of the snowman is of the snowman getting a root canal.
Yes, I'll be there at noon.
I have Dan Duffy.
And Rachel will be there in 10 minutes, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, Mom. We were talking about Dan Duffy going out on the street, and this is one of my favorites. I found it. It's Dan Duffy selling crap off.
Yes.
Door to door.
I love that.
Yes.
Door to door. He was a salesman, and...
to send Dan out on little missions out on the street.
Yeah, he was Mr. Hand Puppet. I guess we can reveal that now.
Yeah,
he was nobody knew that. He was Mr. Hand Puppet and swore he'd never do it again. And today he's not Mr. Hand Puppet. He's Mr. Door-to-door salesman. Dan Duffy, door-to-door salesman. Dan the salesman. Dan is going to do his best salesman voice. And of course, he's going to have a pitch like no pitch you've ever heard before.
No. He's selling a new cleaner, you know, a new cleaner that is that does it all, does everything, cleans toilet bowls, kitchens. You can even use it on your upholstery.
The amazing thing about this new cleaner is that it is safe for children. And to demonstrate that, when Dan knocks on a stranger's door and the stranger's standing there allowing him to do his pitch, like that's going to happen. He will end his pitch by saying, and it's even safe for children, and to prove it to you, I'm going to squirt myself in the face with this and prove just how safe it is. Well, he's going to then squirt, it's really water and a little squirt bomb, and squirt himself in the face, then let out a blood-curdling scream and crawl to the car, basically. He'll out and drive away, and it will be a laugh riot. Yes! He will be. He will hit the ground and writhe in pain. I like the writhing part. Yeah. Dan?
Yes.
All right. Dan's got the salesman look going today, too, by the way.
Wearing a coat and tie.
All right, Dan, you're going to approach a house and tell them about this new cleaner. Did we name the cleaner, by the way?
Dan, let's ask the salesman. What's this wonderful product called?
It's called Crap Off.
Crap Off. Crap Off. Is that crap with a K?
Yes, K-R-A-P-O-F-F.
Yes, and you've prepared your pitch.
I am so ready. It's scary.
Yeah, and I know you enjoy talking to people, don't you, Dan?
I do, because, you know, I'm a people person.
Yes. And you have your little squirt bottle.
I've got it here. Let's see if you can hear it.
I hear it. We hear the bottle. Now make sure when you're pitching the cleaner, you let them know that there is nothing that this thing can't clean. Nothing.
You got it right on the button, Jackson.
And the beautiful thing about this product is it's safe for the kids. You don't have to worry about the kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we, of course, will prove that in just a moment. Now,
it's nothing like ammonia.
Have you picked a neighborhood that looks ripe for this?
Yes, I am in a random location.
You're at a random location. Okay. We're going to turn it over to you. Dan,
I don't know why, but I'm picturing, you see that movie Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah.
See that? You know, at the beginning when they show suburbia, all those houses, with every lawn is perfect. And
off will take away the stench out of your carpet. Would you like to try it?
No.
No, okay, fine. Do you have any cats?
Yeah.
Are they locked up?
No.
Okay, keep them in the house. I'm allergic to cats. But, you know, when the cats urinate all over the carpet, No, they do. Trust me, I know. They urinate all over the carpet and leave that cat smell that just can't be gotten out. Crap Off takes it out. Do you have toilets, ma'am?
Yes, of course.
Okay, fine. Well, you know that ring that you get in the toilet that just never comes out? Crap Off will take it right out. In fact, if you let me in, we can go spray the toilet right now.
I really don't want any cleaning products. I'm sorry.
Now, listen. Have enough. How many cleaning products do you have?
Quite a few.
Okay.
We're fine.
You can toss them all. Toss them all. Crap Off will take care of everything.
Crap Off. No, really, I don't think we need.
No, I'm afraid you do. Okay, let me ask you. This is my clincher right here. Do you have any children?
Yes.
Here comes the closer.
How many children do you have?
We have one baby.
One baby. Okay. You wouldn't let your baby near those cleaners, would you?
No.
Okay. This Crap Off not only takes care of all household stains, it's hypoallergenic. It's not bad for your face. It will take care of everything, and it's safe to use around your child.
Okay, like I said, we have enough of them.
Just let me demonstrate. I will take this squirt bottle, and I will squirt myself in the face with it just to prove how good Crap Off is and safe.
I don't really think that'd be a very good...
No. Just watch. Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, I don't think that was a good idea.
You know, Ledoux needed some excitement. They really
that
did.
That was great, Dan. I'd forgotten how good you were doing that.
You know what, though? I have to say, where I really learned all of it, I'm sitting next to the guy. I'm sitting next to Addison Clark.
Yes.
Amen. Addison,
yes.
Be Amen. All, end all, taught yes. me more about the art of the street stunt
yes.
because you were, honestly, you're the most fearless guy I'd ever seen. Like, anything they ask you to do, you're like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, we're going to strap, like 10,000 pieces of what's that stuff that the
oh we remember
the
we
fizzy
we,
stuff
we put fireworks all over in it.
Well, you blew them up with fireworks. You put like I want to say like 50 pagers strapped it to his body,
yes.
and then
everybody
they all
really
had the same
that.
Number, and then you rang it.
You like remember we covered him in dog food?
Yes,
canned dog.
I remember
food.
That
Elizabeth Estes
laid
house.
Him on the floor at Elizabeth Estes, who was the
and
big,
she
the,
licked
the,
it off
the dog
APA.
Lady. She licked it off.
The place and then, was like a barn.
And then she released her, all of her dogs rescued. Our
all
dogs,
except for Frisco.
Frisco, who ended up on the menu at a Hardee's, which was weird. But
and I think comedian Chuck Booms wrote a song about him too. They did a Elton John did a tribute to poor Liz. See, somebody listening though, they don't know maybe what we're talking about. Frisco was a dog that
her dog.
Liz Estes, who was the animal
APA lady.
Yeah.
And she was fantastic. She worked for the APA.
Very sweet.
And she helped to
I went to
save
her home
a lot of dogs
she once. Did. And she had like 100 dogs living in her house.
It was
she,
like the Bumpuses.
It was
yeah.
a
yeah.
huge shelter. No one else would take them. She did.
Right. And she lost one of the dogs,
it
Frisco.
Got out, she left her sunroof open and Frisco escaped.
And she lost the dog in like 1992.
And she was just, she just fell apart.
Yeah. And years later, she was still searching for Frisco.
Even got a psychic to drive her around the city, psychic Ron Mangum.
Right, the worst psychic in the history of psychics.
I will never forget this. He drove her around for what seemed like 3 days on the air.
He was awful.
And he would say, turn right, take a left.
Yes, yes.
Wait, stop, I'm getting something. I feel, turn. They never found the damn dog, obviously.
No.
Well,
and Ron never got a prediction right, ever.
Never.
Remember her?
They got hands felt like they were pulsating.
His hands
no, that's
crazy.
The healer.
Like crazy.
That's the healer. You're confusing the healer.
But wait, but
wrong nutbag. Sorry.
Different,
there were so many.
Different day, different nutbag.
Where did we find all these people?
They found us.
That's true. That's
but
true.
The psychic Ron got back to the station after doing the dog search, and I swear to Jesus, couldn't find his car keys. Remember
oh, yeah.
that?
He was
you
the
remember
worst
that?
Psychic ever.
He left,
worst
came back ever. Inside, and he goes, I've misplaced my car keys.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Worst psychic
who
ever.
On this show had to carry in the guy from Lord of the Dance who would not walk on his own feet?
Michael
that,
Flatley.
That was Dan, I think.
Somebody,
were you,
no, I refuse.
Actually, we ended up, did we interview him? Because they came in and they told us that, yeah.
Somebody
he
had
the
to
car.
Carry him
did
in.
We brought to the car.
We took his cell phone.
When Lord of the Dance was really popular, and I can't imagine
Lord
why it ever was popular.
So stupid.
But wait a minute, some bit's trying to play here. Hang on. Stop
it was Michael
it.
Flatley.
Well, we had him
it
in
actually
for an
was
interview,
a big deal.
And they called us from the Union Station parking lot and said Michael Flatley is here for his interview, but he does not walk on his feet. They are million-dollar feet.
They're
we
insured.
Need, we need somebody to come out and carry him in.
And Steve went out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Steve went out and let the air out of his tires.
Y'all had to carry me in every day. What do you mean I went out and...
I don't remember if who carried old
you know
Flatley.
What? We must not have done the interview because I think we told him to leave.
I think so. I think we refused.
What were we thinking? It was Michael Flatley,
at
the
that
Lord
point.
Of the
You
dogs.
Should have given him a piggyback ride.
Is there, like, somebody Our asked own. Me not that long ago who the biggest, like, a-hole celebrity that we ever interviewed was. Was.
Oh, the Hall of Shame. Well,
oh,
I know who mine was.
We all have a different answer.
Tracy Gold is mine.
Oh, she was. She was mean.
Actually, you know what? It wasn't
she was
her.
Hungry.
It was her. It was her people.
Is she the one?
Because
yeah. I'm mean when I'm hungry.
Yes. Yes.
Literally 2 mornings prior.
Growing pains, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
2 mornings prior, Jean-Claude Van Damme called live from set.
And we kept hanging up on him. He kept calling back. We couldn't get rid of that loser.
But he was a love, and he did the show live. Like, I mean, we've had huge A-listers do the show live, and that's what you guys
oh, yeah.
always wanted. We don't
yes.
we don't tape interviews.
No.
No.
So Tracy Gold's people said, well, she can't. She doesn't want to wake up that early to do your show. And I got
Tracy.
So
bitch.
I mean, I was so angry. I told her publicist to get her a sandwich.
Oh,
I mean, it was really.
And she did.
I was so mad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little did we know.
And
yes.
Ann B. Davis was the same Alice from the Brady
She's
Bunch.
She's on
That's
your
right.
Hall of Shame list.
That's
oh,
right.
she is. I went to the Library Limited to interview her.
Yeah,
as
you didn't
Mr.
like
Hand
her.
Puppet, and sure enough, she got me kicked out of there and barred for a year.
Yes, that's
well,
right.
I remember doing the pre-interview with Kim Fields from Tootie or Tootie from yeah. And whoever her hand...
Tootie was the spinoff show.
It was when we were doing the surprise celebrity interview. You guys would have... Jimmy or I or a producer would book a surprise celebrity, and you guys would have to guess who it was with clues, and then you'd go right into an interview. Well, the lady told me...
Sorry.
If they call her Tootie, not only will we hang up on you,
right.
you will never get another interview from this well, agency again. So right yes. when you guys figured out it was Kim Fields, I had to burst in the room with a gigantic sign above my head that said, do not call her Tootie.
Which you well, know is the quickest way to get us to
right.
call her Tootie.
And then, exactly. and then Steve got it wrong and called her Tootsie.
I thought Dustin Hoffman was on the phone.
Steve's going, why
hey,
didn't we call her Tootie?
Tootsie. Yeah, you don't do that. Dennis Quaid did that, and I felt bad after that, actually.
I like Dennis Quaid, too. I could give a crap about.
He thought we were being a-holes, and we weren't. We didn't know that Dennis Quaid, we had no idea that Meg Ryan had just slept with Russell Crowe, and it had been all over the news that she was leaving Dennis. And so we just asked, well, how's Meg? And
he got
really pissed. He's like, oh, you think that's funny? You think it's funny to... Because no it had idea. Just happened the day before, and we didn't know.
We didn't know.
Yeah. Back there was then, no internet back then.
Well, there was no phones, no internet back then, nothing.
The story of our life, day late and a dollar short.
Exactly. No TMZ.
And we apologized. We apologized to Dennis, and I think he came around.
You remember when Jan Brady came to town or wanted to be on the show? Marsha. Would talk about anything but the Brady Bunch?
Yeah,
we
they told us, don't mention the Brady Bunch.
A country CD she had put out.
A country CD.
And did not want to talk about the Brady Bunch.
That's
okay,
right.
That was a short interview.
I wonder
you remember how many people showed up, though, to meet her at Best Buy?
Three. How many? No, I don't know.
There was a line down the damn street.
She was Marsha Brady.
Right. Though. And then the handler kept saying, don't bring up the Brady Bunch.
Talk about her music career.
There were 1,000 people. It was in St. Peter's at the Best Buy. That's 1,000 people in line.
You have a good memory.
Every one of them had Brady Bunch lunch boxes or pictures to sign.
She was in hell.
And they said, don't bring up the Brady Bunch to the crowd.
Which was hilarious.
So the crowd laughed.
Everybody laughed. Like, F it. We're out of here.
She ended up signing like 6 CDs.
That's right. That's right. And then the professor.
Which was 3 more than she sold.
I remember the professor from Gilligan's Island also told us, he didn't.
Johnson.
His handler.
Yeah,
his
Russell.
Handler. And it's hard to believe he has a handler. Yeah. But his handler said, don't bring up Gilligan's Island. You can talk to him about anything.
Yes. Well.
But no Gilligan's Island. So the only thing we could do is ask him questions like he was a real professor.
Right. That's right. That's right. Trying to make the point.
Right.
Mackenzie Phillips.
She was a biatch. Yeah.
You told her she was doing all those proactive commercials, and when Steve hung up on her, he goes, I hope your face breaks out.
That's right.
Well, I pissed her off because... Mackenzie Phillips, gosh, she'd been on One Day at a Time, and then the Mamas and the Papas, and so I just asked her, what have you been up to lately? Mm-hmm. And she got really pissed. She's like, you don't know? I'm on the Disney Channel now.
Oh, God.
I have a hit show called Even Steven. And got all pissed off with us. And then, she was about to hang up. And then Steve told her to have her face break up.
And she went ahead and hung up.
Yeah. What is the movie? It's an Adam Sandler movie where the crazy guy's putting on lipstick and crossing out names of people he wants to kill from bed.
Steve Buscemi.
I wonder how many celebrities have, a list of people they want to kill. And you guys are number one.
Well, I know Janice Dickinson. Does anybody know her?
Yeah.
Yes. The supermodel. The
really first supermodel.
In this case, I really I have to defend Steve because she got pissed with Steve. He said in the intro that, because she was one of the first supermodels back in the day. And he said that she had a reality show that was a big hit.
That I was watching and liking.
And you said, I love your stupid reality show.
Meaning stupid, good stupid.
I'm addicted to it. You said, I'm addicted to your stupid reality show.
And that was the very first second she came on the phone.
How dare you call it stupid? Who are you?
And didn't she hang up on
us? Yeah, I mean, your show's stupid.
Yeah.
Which we admitted our show is
stupid. You're right. Point being.
But the good ones, it's funny to me, the bigger the star, the nicer they are.
I didn't mean to rhyme that.
Because we had Tom Hanks 3 days after he won the Oscar for either Philadelphia
Couldn't
or Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Really nice. Tom Cruise, I thought, was
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Very
Ben
nice.
Affleck was. And when we had
Denzel Washington.
Matt Damon was always a doll.
Always.
When we had Ben Affleck on, we were told not to ask about J-Lo, which was understandable. So Steve went into this whole segment asking Ben about Jell-O. And
Did I really?
Yes.
Because that's pretty good.
He
was Dan holding up a sign?
No, probably. Dan wrote it down. And so...
Was Dan eating Jell-O while we were doing the interview? Something.
But Ben played along with it. You know,
and he did.
Yeah, and that's some of the best.
He had a good
sense
of humor.
Inside baseball that people don't know is that a lot of times when Steve and DC were doing something and they'd have a funny one-liner, it would come from somebody on the staff. We all had writing whiteboards.
Well, I guess
we technically helped Steve a little bit more than DC.
No, So I'm going to get this was like the third death threat that I got from the show.
Yes,
from the show.
We make them
from listeners. I got a death threat.
Wow.
From this one. So And I did it for DC, and DC totally ratted me out. So DC.
Well, I wasn't going to die.
No, for you. DC was telling this story, and it was of Possum. Who's that guy?
George Jones.
George Jones.
Oh.
George Jones had just gotten, the night before, had gotten in an accident, and he clipped his Lexus SUV off the median three times down in Nashville. That's so right. I wrote out this line for DC to read. Because you also have to know that George Jones was supposedly on the wagon at this time.
That's right.
And I hand the note to DC, and DC goes, "Hey, Dan, why don't you read the note you just handed me?" And I'm like, "What note, DC?"
Shut it. DC was smart enough to know when you're on a country radio station, you don't screw with George Jones.
Right.
So well,
Dan, not so much a George Jones fan.
And I was scared of listener Jackie.
Well,
who loved George.
Who loved George.
Well, George. DC goes, "No, Dan, read the note." I'm like, "No, let's just move on. I have to go get sports." Yeah. And you said, "Dan, this show is not going further until you read the note you just handed me." So at that point, I'm trapped like a fart in a car. And I'm like, "All right, fine." I'm like, "All right, fine." George Jones just wanted to thank all of his fans, and he wanted to let them know that he's resting comfortably in his hospital room. He also said if he knew he was going to be this thirsty this morning, he would have drank more the night before.
And the phone started to ring.
Oh, instant. Like the phone bank lit up and like, "How dare you go off on?"
They were pissed.
Awesome.
Pissed at you. I mean, possum.
Were they, you know, thinking that the possum didn't have an alcohol problem?
No, he was supposedly he had been through rehab and was on the wagon.
Yeah, yeah, fast right
and it hadn't come out that he was drunk.
Wouldn't that be a great bar name?
So I said, would be rehab. Rehab.
So he said, I just basically implied that he was drunk.
Where are you? I'm in rehab.
How often do you clip a median three times and you're not drunk?
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
That's right.
And then, of course, I was vindicated 3 months later when it came out after he got out of the hospital.
He was
drunk.
He was drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, even he talked about it openly that he was drunk.
But now, DC used more discernment than I did when y'all would hold up those signs. I would read cold whatever you flashed at my face.
Right. Well, they'd just say to Steve, "Here's your sign."
Oh, I've got one more little insider one.
Uh-oh.
You are so true. You would read anything we held up.
I take it wherever I can get it. Well, I don't care.
Well, who held up the N-word? Who did that?
No. So check this out. So
he did not just do that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
I knew it was coming.
So on the phone, we had this phone screen where we would type in people's name, like line 3,
and
Jackie from Mobile, she wants to talk about such and such. So we also had this little private bar on the bottom where we would pop lines up or private notes. So
lines of what?
Yeah, exactly. So what happened was we had played Road Rage song. And it was on the road again. That's and it's right. Like, "Move your ass." And we had done all these road rage lines in between. And there's gunshots and da 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 da. And we go to commercial. We come back and there's this lady. And she is supremely upset.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls in. And she's talking like this. And,
and
my brother was killed in a road rage incident. I mean, and she is
very upset.
She's in bits.
In fact, those are the worst times when I think back, when you want to laugh and it's a really, really serious emotional moment, really hard, and everybody is trying to hold back laughing. Not that we're laughing at the lady, but probably somebody in the room did something stupid.
What happened was there's that little space at the bottom window, and I typed into Steve's computer, "Mr. Grant."
Exactly, because she sounded exactly like Mary Tyler Moore.
So Steve quietly took off his headphones, put his hand to his mouth, and walked out of the studio and closed the door and erupted.
I had to. Oh, my God, that is right.
Well, there's nothing worse than when you want to laugh and you can't.
So bad.
Nothing worse than that. Oh, my God.
We got to go back to Addy because there's so much there, and we kind of got sidetracked with some good stories. But Dan was absolutely right when he said Addison was fearless. His line, his mantra was, "I'll do anything for the Steve."
Anything for the Steve and DC show.
And among the things, and we talked about it last night at On Location, and one of the things that we
great location.
Great, what did I,
On Location. Location, great location. They might change the name to that.
Was Addison in the barrel going down the steps. That was one of my favorites.
Yes.
There's so many. Addison in the parachute downtown. We made it appear he had a parachute accident, and he was on all the traffic reports. And then, Dan, do you remember that Bill Clinton was in town down the street, and the Secret Service came to interview us because they were concerned we were crazy people? Because we did this near where Clinton was speaking. We didn't even know Clinton was speaking.
No idea.
We didn't
even know Clinton.
We didn't even know.
Yeah. Edison, what was your favorite bit you ever did, and what was your least favorite? Yeah. The one that you just did not want to do.
There were,
but you went
so
through with
many.
But there really is an art to it, Addison. You were very good at it because many came and went and couldn't pull off a street stunt.
No,
you have balls
in
the
fact,
size of church bells.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Addison that made him great at that. And I think it's probably the same like with actors or people that are good at it. Not that I'm comparing you to a good actor, but they just aren't afraid to embarrass themselves.
Exactly.
Make an ass out of themselves.
The best one I remember about you, Addy, is when you got the proctology exam from a guy who was both A, gay, and B, not a proctologist.
And that was Rob Matt's first day. He said, Rob Matt said his first
we
day.
We made Rob put his finger up his head.
On his Rob first played the part of the proctologist.
You're new here? All right, here's what you do.
Put on this white coat.
No, you're not going to need a glove.
Here's some Vaseline. Addison's in Studio B.
Day one, Addison was bent over the studio table, bare ass in the air.
Now, and that happened a lot, though, in fairness. Yeah, that did happen
true.
A lot.
And that was just off the air.
Addison would be bent over.
It wasn't even a bit.
No. And then we said it's time for the bit.
Yes. Do you remember, though, the guy was a large, not only gay, but a cross-dressing black male.
Yes.
Large.
Yes.
And named Big O.
Yes.
And we convinced Addison that this guy was a doctor.
How?
I have no idea.
How did we convince Addison that this was a real doctor?
This is the most feminine man
right.
God
He'd
ever made.
He'd walk in and go, hey, bitches.
He would. And do the head thing spin.
How many doctors talk like
and
that,
And he had
Addison?
On a white coat and a stethoscope. Addison's in the conference room, bent bare-assed over the conference room table.
Bare-ass.
And we're live
yes.
on the air. And the thing was, we were going to have a code word. And when we said the code word on the air, or when the fake proctologist said the code word on the air, we'd all bust into the room and get pictures of Addison. We really wanted to kind of test Addison to see if he would actually strip down
and
bend
did.
Over the table.
He did.
So the guy comes in, tells Addison he's the doctor, it's Big O, and the code word happens, and we bust in to get a picture, and there's Addison bent over the table, ready to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Take one for the team.
Ass like a 19-year-old girl. And still does.
Sadly, that's true.
After all these years.
I had a woman tell me once, this is so true, a girl that worked at the station, that she could never date somebody like Addison because she wouldn't date a man
that's
whose
true.
Ass was smaller than hers.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. She did say that about you, Addison Clark.
Hey,
who are you named after?
No,
you don't have to. My favorite bit is when we sent you over to J.C. Corcoran's studio to give him something to talk about for the next 25 years.
Right.
which time?
Yes.
I don't think we can top that.
25 years later, he's still butthurt over
he's
it.
He's still talking about it.
Before we run out of time, and just because I wasn't there last night, did you guys give a nice little tribute to the Hoosier?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
We absolutely did, and you could feel and sense and hear the respect from the audience for the Hoosier, and
everybody
misses
loves
him, and we love him, and I know his daughter told me she didn't get to come. She wanted to, Geneva, that he would be there in spirit, and you know he was.
Oh, yeah, because we got to replay the Thanksgiving turkey
right.
Oh, one of the most
deal.
Classic things ever. I'll never forget just the little one where we had him call Vidal Sassoon.
Yes.
In London.
Yes.
And he's like, do you blow dry? No, we natural dry. What about feet? What do you mean, what about feet? I have corns. If I don't look good, you don't look good.
Do you guys remember how Hoosier hated anybody new that came on the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went at me. He went at
Moose Milster, who was there last night, by the
Moose
way.
Moose was the best because, like,
I got the call to Vidal Sassoon.
You do?
I can't believe it. Just a minute of it here. Mad Hoosier, rest his soul. When he passed in 2000, I believe.
Yeah.
He did. It was
May of 2000.
Yep. It was a week before my wedding because he was
sure
supposed
was.
To be
he
an
really
usher
didn't want to go.
In my wedding.
That was a hell of a way to get out of it.
He would do anything to get out of going to Addison's wedding. Where did you say this was? Vidal Sassoon?
Vidal Sassoon in London.
In London, okay. The Mad Hoosier calling Vidal Sassoon. Hang on a second. I don't know why it's buffering.
Oh, crap.
Stop buffering.
Damn Marriott Wi-Fi.
I'm on the Wi-Fi here. Is this good Wi-Fi?
It's
been good Wi-Fi.
Is Jimmy in the bathroom?
Yeah, I don't think
he left.
I don't think he's feeling well.
He's not. He had it was a mix of the booze and the IHOP got to him last night. Yeah, and when we got home, he said, "Kelly, don't come in the bedroom." And I said, "Okay." He said, all I'm going to do is just lay on my belly and fart."
I thought he was getting on the couch.
I thought he was getting into some costume or something.
No.
He's got some gastro issues.
Find out that Vidal Sassoon has a birthday today. To call Vidal Sassoon's home office, the home plant, if you will, in London, England, and have the Mad Hoosier make an appointment. So this may work. It may not. They may hang up. They may schedule him for a haircut. We'll find out. Who's you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, now you know who you're calling?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Vidal Sassoon.
Vidal Sassoon, that's right.
Hey, Keith, you got that bit yet? Hey, Keith, you got that bit?
Oh, man, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to sweep your leg and kick you in the throat.
That was a great line.
Good thing with us tonight, please.
Yes, hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'd like to make an appointment to get a little trim. I'd like to know, how much does a trim usually cost?
It depends on what level stylist you have. It ranges from £38 up to £50.
Now, I mean, don't they all talk like that in South City?
Yeah. Is that a salon in South City?
£250?
£250.
Well, I would just like to get maybe about a couple inches, you know, just trimmed off. My ears lowered a little there.
Yeah. Right.
Hello?
Hang on.
Hello, how can I help?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to make an appointment to get my hair trimmed, possibly.
Now, this is Vidal, I think, that picked up.
Do you think that I might be able to come in and get my ears lowered a little?
Whereabouts are you from? I can't hear you.
It's a damn.
Well. Are you fine?
Yes, ma'am. I'm thinking about coming in today and getting a little trim.
Right, okay. Hold on a sec.
Yeah, ma'am, hello.
There's no nice, so they won't hang up on him.
What month would you like?
What month would I like? I would like to come in possibly today. Today or earlier this week before Friday.
Most people don't know this. Who's your time travel?
I'd like to come in yesterday.
I want to come in yesterday. Who's your time travel?
Just for a trim.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the same price as a normal haircut, so...
I see.
Trim is the same price as a normal haircut.
Really?
And, you know, I want, in with the trim, I would like to get a shampoo and, you know, get the whole thing. I would like to get probably my fingernails trimmed. And I'd like to know, do you use pluck eyebrows?
Do you use pluck eyebrows?
You don't do no eyebrows?
No, we don't do beauty.
Oh, what about nose hairs? I have a lot of nose hairs coming out my nose.
We don't do beauty at all. We only do hairdressing.
You only do the hairdressing?
Jude Law.
I see. Do you use blow dry?
We natural dry.
You natural dry?
Yeah.
I have curls. Curly hair.
Do you use curly hair?
I mean, can use. I like to have, you know, it trimmed and possibly permed.
No, we don't do that, I'm afraid.
You don't do that? In other words,
Hey?
What about getting some of the hairs out of my ears?
Oh, yeah, I'll do them for you.
Oh, you can get the hair out of my ears.
Yeah, we've got a Remington Lady Shave in the back.
Also, I'd like to possibly get maybe a massage. You know, my shoulder.
Don't do that either, I'm afraid.
Well, you don't do that also?
Hang on one moment, I'll just pass you.
Wait a minute, sir.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling. I'm coming in to get a trim, and I'm making an appointment, and I'm asking, do you remove corns with your pedicures? I have a big one on my toe that's so big I can't even walk. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
He's going to get mad.
If you don't look good, I don't look good. Hello?
Lasted longer than I thought it would.
I will never forget the time, too. Remember Hootie and the Blowfish, Hold My Hand?
Yeah.
Well, he did a parody of it called Hold My Gland. And it was actually it was the best thing, but I'm going to hand the microphone to Addison and explain, because all I know is Addison walked out after 2 hours. They finally recorded it. And Addie, who had just gotten back from like the tanning booth, was as white as a freaking ghost, going, I don't know if I can do that again.
Was it hard to record the Hoosier on a parody song?
Recording the Hoosier was like probably my all-time favorite thing to do
if
in
you
the
had
studio.
A whole day.
Because it would take him a while.
Deep Thoughts. You remember Deep Thoughts with the Mad Hoosier?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Bless his soul, he couldn't read. You put a four-word sentence in front of him, and he'd
you'd have
like,
to do it word by word.
Yes.
You guys, I just realized I'm going to be staying if we don't wrap up, because I got to catch a plane.
I was just going to say that we could sit and talk forever, but we've already gone way. I mean, you're going to be stuck here. Alabama's going to miss you.
I like it here as long as the snow doesn't fall again.
Well, Alabama's loss is our gain.
Thank you, Dan. I love you, man. I really love you.
Stop it.
Is there anyone you guys want to thank in closing? Obviously, the listeners who came out last night to the reunion show. No, yeah. Nobody to thank?
No. Okay.
No, everybody that came. First of all, we had just hundreds and hundreds of people that throughout the day yesterday either were too far away to come to Wentzville,
right.
Missouri, and just a lot of great comments. I wish that we could have done it maybe in a more central location, because I understand some people couldn't get there from Illinois.
Well,
and
I think maybe that there should probably be another one.
I do too.
I think maybe sometime in the late spring.
Yeah.
And I think, I think we can do this again.
I think so.
Because it was a lot of fun.
We have to. I think we have to. It was a great time, and certainly appreciate everybody that came out, everybody that watched or listened, or will listen to this.
Yes.
And share it, which Kelly's podcasts are awesome. I listen to them every week and think you're
wonderful. Well, I learned from the best.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Addison. You're talking about,
she's
talking about
Addison. Pointed Addison.
Listen to me a lot.
You?
Anyway, this has been absolutely great. Yeah. Hanging out with you guys just by itself has been wonderful.
It has been a blast. And, I think there just might be another Stephen D.C. show on the radio.
The next generation.
I'll tell you what, local radio needs something, and I don't mean to, dog my own town, but, the stuff that I listen to nowadays, it doesn't compare to the two of you.
Well,
no.
I think, we're older, wiser. Are we wiser, though?
No, we're older.
No.
We're older.
Trouble with the law.
I think we're younger, smarter, and better.
Yes.
Is that taken? Is somebody using that?
Nope. Yes. Younger, smarter, better, divorced.
Divorced.
It's all good. It's all good. So, very soon, a lot of people have been saying, are you guys going to be available soon on a station that we can listen to? All of that is being talked about.
Yep.
And we will see soon. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be very soon.
Yes.
The options are endless right now.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely endless. So do we want to, what was your favorite sign off from the show? Because the one that I was a part of was always the Jesus saves, God bless you, see ya. But were there some before then?
My favorite was Hello Boy.
Hello Boy.
You guys ended the show that way?
Once in a while.
I just had to give a shout out to Santa Donald.
My favorite was Al Canal, which he did on stage last night for years and years. when we'd end with Al as our announcer. Dan does a great
outro. Do you remember what he
said?
This
has been the Steve and DC show. For transcripts of the show, get a piece of paper and a pen and write like an SOB. This ain't no Oprah.
That was better. That was better than when Al did it last night.
I think we need to go out on that note. It's not going to get much better than that. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Steve, for coming back from Alabama.
Thank you for doing this.
The crew at Great Location, they really helped bring Steve in. And
Angela, your girlfriend, is in our prayers as
she
fights cancer, which is really overshadowing all of this and why we did it and why we're here. And God bless her. She is a sweetheart.
She's wonderful. I'm very fortunate to have her. So thank you guys for doing that. And that's it.
Yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Hey, Steve, DC.
Yeah.
See ya!